Mr. Pavel and for Mr. Charles Williams, ADC number 044878. How are you doing this afternoon, Mr. Williams?
Doing fine.
Good. Mr. Williams is out on parole. He was actually became parole eligible on February 26th, 2017. He's actually serving a life sentence for kidnapping. There were some other charges that were also involved in there that was concurrent, that was all running together. We do have his information from his parole officer that he was actually here, but I'm going to just start out with Mr. Williams and get some information from Mr. Williams. Tell us how it's been so far that you've been on home arrest, sir.
It been pretty good. You restrained from what you could do and go. For the most part, I try to go to all my doctor appointments, medical appointments, and dialysis, and other little appointments that I have that is important. And then I go back home. And then a few times, I'm sure you already have a report on it, that when I was out, I went to a couple other places, but not intentionally to be in a violation type of situation. You know, it wasn't like that at all.
So where'd you go? What other places you go to?
Well, one time when I was going to counseling, because I do counseling, and my sister that I lived with, she didn't take me. My other sister took me, and I was there, and then her husband came and picked me up, and he stopped by their house, and I was there because I'm not the driver, and so I was out front. I stayed outside, and he went inside, did whatever he did, pick up whatever he picked up or whatever, I don't know, and then he got back in the car, and then he dropped me off at the house. And then one time, a different date, when I went by there, I actually got out to see how inside my sister's house was. You know, it was the same situation, but I just got out to see how the inside of her house looked. She asked me to, you know, and she been supporting me. And she was at the parole hearing when I was in prison. Mm-hmm. So I just got out. I didn't want to say no to her.
Okay. So how's it been for you other than that? I know that there's some medical issues that you've been having, but how's life been for you just having the opportunity to be out and home arrest?
It's been much, much better because I'm able to eat a lot better. I haven't been having the diabetic episode because when I was in prison, they were feed me, and then 5 or 6 hours will go by, and then they'll give me an insulin shot. But I didn't digest the food, and the food is kind of like that left the body a little bit. And then when they give me the insulin shot, you know, I have a diabetic episode, you know, I have low sugar, and then I have episode and I, you know, and it caused you not to be in your right state of mind. You know, sometimes I would hit my head against the wall, and all kinds of stuff was going on in there. One time I end up the catheter that was in my chest came out. They had to put pressure on my chest, rush me to the hospital, and give me blood transfusion and all kind of stuff, you know, because I didn't have bled out, you know. And they had me in
light down.
So the only reason why they found me, because other black inmates that came to talk to me, and they see me laying in a puddle of blood, and so then they alerted the officer. So being out appeared to be a lot safer than opposed to being inside, because, you know, being inside, and you have the type of medical problems that I have, you can easily die, because you don't get the best of health, and that's just the God truth.
So tell me that since you've been out, and I know you've made your doctor's appointment and you've been going, what other things? Have you had the opportunity to do anything, or?
Well, my parole officer here allowed me to go to a family dinner, you know. And, well, I want to tell you something about that. We was at the family dinner, and when we got ready to leave, it was a few people needed to get dropped off. And so we dropped one off, wasn't that far from the party. And then we dropped another individual off over there, like off 7th Avenue in Buckeye. So we're in that area, and we dropped him off. And then after that, I went straight to the house, back to Goodyear, Arizona. But other than that, I've been doing pretty good, and I've been to a few churches, a few funerals, and for the most part, when I write something on the itinerary, the parole officer is real good about proving it. You know, but I would like to try to continue doing what I'm doing. I'm in the process of trying to get a kidney transplant. And I'm trying to continue to meet the criteria for that. You know, they don't want you to smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, use no type of drugs, and eat good, and do your dialysis, and meet all your appointments at the Mayo Clinic Hospital. And so I does all of that. Plus, I don't use drugs or drink or smoke or do none of that stuff anyway. That's in the past. And I don't have no intention in going back to that type of lifestyle. And so I'm just trying to stay positive and hopefully become independent. I can move out of my sister's house and have a place of my own.
Did you have any kids? How was it with the family when you said you had the family dinner? How'd that go?
Oh, it went real nice. I loved it. and we had a cousin. She came from Austin, Texas. And that was my very first time ever meeting her. You know, I didn't even know she existed. But I was very happy to have met her. You know, it's always nice and beautiful thing to meet families that you never met before. Because usually people just know the family that they grew up with and was raised around in the state city that they was grew up in. And not really, like, know the one that live in other states. You know, and it could be because you wasn't raised together or whatever, but you just don't always know.
Yeah. So do you have kids, Mr. Williams?
Well, I have emails that say that I have kid body. I'm just trying to just explain it to you, but it was explained to me. But I'm kind of, you know, like, maybe I do, maybe I don't, because in my mind, if a man have kids by a woman, it seems to me that she would like try to make sure the kids get to know who their daddy are, vice versa, you know, and you know, and had kids writing letters or go visiting. You know, I was incarcerated for 27 years and 3 months. But these things never occurred, you know. But then on the other hand, you know, once a man get a life sentence, you know, a lot of people kind of like just disappear, you know, out the individual life, because when they hear life sentence, you know. So, you know, I guess it would be nice to have some kids, but, you know, I haven't had no relationship with no chickens. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of being on house arrest. Mm-hmm. I can't really just, like, leave and go and visit the different females and really, you know, sit down and hold a public relation conversation and determine, you know, what's what.
So you're staying with your sister, that's right?
Yes. Yeah.
Now how's that working out?
That's real beautiful. It's real nice.
Are you getting home cooking meals, is that what you're saying?
Oh, Lord, yes I do. Yes I do. And she only buy organic food, so it's much healthier food than what you receive in prison. And the food in prison is, you know, I'm kind of like under the impression the food that I eat is what caused the medical problems that I have when I was in prison. You know, because when I went to prison, I wasn't no diabetic when I was in prison. I didn't have high blood pressure. I didn't have diabetes, and I didn't have no kidney failure. And then being in there and eating that food, and then they eat a guinea pig medication. And now I got all kind of medical problems, you know.
Well, that happens. I just, you know, try to get the best treatment when we're out. But yeah, I ain't never been to prison, but.
And you don't
know, I got medical issues right now myself. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes those things just come with age.
It's just natural.
Yeah.
When
it's a natural transition.
When human beings start getting older, that medical problems, you know, gonna surface. And so, I always had a strong body, so I believe that it's from eating that prison food. Yeah.
It could be, but.
Yeah, I think it's more to a hospital.
We're going to visit. I wasn't trying to get it either. So let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. Ms. Rittenhouse?
Yes, sir. Mr. Williams, I'm not diabetic myself, but I've had friends who are, and it can be very complicated to manage, especially when you get your insulin and when you eat. Have you figured out how to stabilize yourself so you
See, well, I have bought a book called Diabetes for Dummies. And so when I bought that in the book, it explained that you will take your insulin shot 30 minutes after that, You have to eat.
You eat. Yeah.
Or
not the other way around.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so they wasn't giving me the medication and the food at the right time.
Right. Okay.
And it was damaging me.
Right.
You know. And
but you don't have the lightheadedness, or you figured that kind of out.
I would have real episodes.
Right.
And they would have to come and give me sugar and give me glucose tablets and pour sugar down my throat and everything, because the diabetes is not in place.
No. But you got it figured out. I mean, you're pretty. You got yourself pretty stable now.
I take my medication.
Yeah.
But I seen on the world news, it said that a woman had diabetes and it was uncontrollable. And her doctor asked his friend, who was another doctor that was a surgeon, to operate on her. And he suggests to take her pancreas and turn it upside down. And they did the surgery and turned the pancreas upside down. And now the woman ain't even no diabetic no more. And living a normal life.
That's kind of bizarre.
It was on the world.
Nice. Wow. Well, I'm glad you have it under control, because it can be pretty complicated. But you get to know your own body, and when you know how you feel, and you can probably test yourself with the test strips and everything to make sure your sugar's good.
I suppose to, but I haven't been doing that.
Yeah, you probably need to do that. That's an important thing. You can't tell the disease.
Your pain is so sore.
Yeah, but they make one you can do right on your arm and you can't feel. It's pretty, you need to look into that. Anyways, thank you.
Well, I'm going to look into that machine you see.
No pain.
Right on your arm?
No pain.
That's the one I need.
Yeah, it just does a little shot right there.
The other ones I can buy at Walmart.
Yes, you can.
Walgreens.
Yes, you can. That's a good one. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay.
Sorry.
Do you have anything, Mr. Moore?
Well, I just to say, I test my blood sugar, but I don't do it. I do it in the room when I get up, but if it's pretty bad, then I just don't pay any attention all day.
Oh, damn it.
But fortunately, I don't have to take any medications to keep it down. I just have to keep it from getting there. And I can imagine, because the diet that most people in this country eat outside of prison is what causes most of the diabetes that's going on type 2. And I can just imagine, because although they say it's nutritionally right, and we've got all the vitamins and minerals and everything else like that, to cook food for an institution that size, I think I've been eating a lot of stuff that, you know, got all the bad junk in it that you shouldn't be eating it anywhere. So.
And outside of a lot of cars.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree with you.
So, Mr. Williams, I know that you're not working. Because you're dealing with your medical issues, that you haven't really looked for a job. Your main priority has been getting your medical issues under control. But in the future, sir, do you plan on working, or what kind of work would you do? Or you talked about trying to be independent so that you can have your own place and don't have to live with your sister. But how do you plan on doing that?
Well, always be telling my sister now that whenever I could get off of home arrest and get the electronic monitor off my ankle, then I could probably go out and I could put in applications, and then I probably have to be catching a bus, and then, you know, but I'm only trying to be focused on like a part-time job, you know, like 4 hours a day, part-time. Because I still do dialysis, and then I go back and forth to the Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale, and then also go back and forth to the Mayo Clinic Clinic Hospital on Mill Boulevard. And I only have two more appointments, one on the 8th and then one on the 15th. And then I'll be at the end of all my testings. And then I will be able to wait and see if they're going to put me on the list to, for the kidney transplant. I'm pretty sure they will, because I don't really see them, you know, refusing to receive money, and the insurance going to pay them for the transplant. Mm-hmm. So I don't see no reason why they would, you know, accept the money. So I figured that I'd probably be on the kidney transplant list. And but I want to get a job too. You know.
So do you get Social Security, a disability, or SSI, anything like that?
Well, they just approved me for supplemental disability. And I just got approved about a week or so ago.
Okay.
You know, towards the end of last month. And, but I haven't received no check, not yet. I haven't received anything, you know. I'll be happy when I do, so I could get a parole officer a few dollars towards my they want you to pay to be on parole,
right?
And so, you know, I probably won't have much, but I could try to get $10-15. But once I get the job, then I can get a little bit more. Because I got to also live myself, you know. And then I only have very few clothing items, you know. And so I want to also purchase some clothing, you know, probably from Burlington, you know, somewhere that ain't that high, you know.
Okay, that was awesome, because I was wondering, I didn't see where maybe, you know, you've got Social Security or disability or some form along that line to apply for some assistance to help you. I think it's a good idea that with the medical issues that you have, that your focus is on the medical issues and not a job, but you have the ability to be able to focus on those issues and not actually have to worry about, you know, going out and getting a job. But I want to talk about the future plans, or what other options that you may have available to you, sir. But what I'm going to do is we're going to hear from your supporters that we have here today. If you want to just go ahead and have a seat right there, and then we'll hear from them, and we'll hear from the parole officer, then we'll get back with you, okay?
Okay.
All right.
And then I just want to add one more thing.
Yes, sir.
The type of job I really, really want is I want to be the type of person I could work at the unemployment office. Mm-hmm. So I could find the jobs for all of my relatives.
Mr. Williams, just have a seat right here because you want to come back up there. So you have two supporters here, and just whichever order you want to come in to speak, or both of you want to speak, or one of you want to speak, or who's going to speak. Just come up to the mic and say your full name and then present the information to the board. Go ahead, say your full name.
My name is Shannon Pratt. I'm a close friend of Charles' family. I've been a real close friend for years. And I believe he deserves some more freedom so he can be more mobile to do what he has to do. And his number one concern is his health. And he need to be more mobile so he can make sure that those things are taken care of. And so far he has done everything he's supposed to do concerning his health. And I believe he deserves to be released from that monitor.
Okay.
And I will be working close with him because I have some experience in nursing and counseling and dealing with people that has problems. So that's what I'll be doing, looking close with him.
Ms. Carter, I know from experience, you've been around, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The board have no questions, Ms. Pratt?
Thank you.
No.
No.
Okay.
Anyone else? Did you want to, anyone else want to speak?
I will.
Okay.
I'm not dressed and I apologize for how I look today. I thought I was going to be talking through a screen, so.
Just come up to the mic. You dress properly. That's the only thing you need to be.
You're totally fine.
Yes.
Okay, I'm a little nervous. Charles is my cousin.
Still state your full name.
Oh, I apologize. My name is Bobby Hubbard Pierce, and Charles is my cousin. And before he got incarcerated, we wasn't that close. We was close as a family, but not as friends. But since he came home, I talked to him at least twice a week, and he came over my house about, well, we've been communicating because I've been at his sister's house. She gave a dinner for him when he came home for all the family members. And then he was over my house like 2 weeks ago, and I see a big difference in him. He's mature, and I have to. And since he's been gone, I see he tried to improve. I guess he's been reading a lot of books, I could tell. And he's just a different person when he was. Of course, he was about 30 years old when he got incarcerated. So he matured, and I see a big difference in him. And I see he's been trying to better himself. I guess, I don't know if he went to school, but just reading books and getting well informed. So that's all I have to say. But I do think that he deserved to be off the monitor, and he has been concentrating on getting a kidney transplant. He also wanted to get a pancreas transplant, so I don't know how that's going to go. But he is a different person than he was, you know, 27 years ago.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. The board have any questions?
No,
all right. Thank you. So, Mr. Bird.
That's right.
What was it?
Oh, okay.
Well, James Bird, parole officer, Department of Corrections.
How are you doing, sir?
Good. I supervised Charles for about the first 30 days that he was on home arrest, and then I went on leave. I took over his case again back in the beginning of July, about July 9th, I think is when I came back. He does have a lot of medical appointments, which he does go to. That's pretty much where he goes during the day. He does follow his itinerary pretty much. He is dependent on public transportation or ride shares through I guess through access or wherever he gets his, but he goes to the appointments and he goes back home. He doesn't really deviate from those. When I came back, he said, "Hey, I'm at my big 9-0. I said, "What do you mean you're at your big 9-0? He's like, "You ain't 90 years old." So he was referring to his 90-day mark where he does get a little bit extra freedom being on home arrest. So he was excited about that. So he has to go to a family's get-together, and he did. He didn't incur a home zone violation that day, and that's what I wanted to report to you. He was going to be staffed for that at the time of the writing of the progress report that I sent you guys. He was staffed for that. He did go to the party, the get-together. He did leave. And he did stop at two different residences. The first one he didn't go in, the second one he did. We're not talking an extended period of time that he was there, maybe the second residence, maybe 10 minutes. And he was directly on his way back home. The other incident that I got to report to you is when he went to Social Security, and that was on the 29th of this month, or of July. And he did do an extra stop. A little bit south of Social Security, he did. According to the GPS points, he drove through downtown, which was a couple minutes, not necessarily a violation, but I didn't know what he was doing. He did go back to Social Security. He left there and he went south to Buckeye and about 14th Avenue, and he did stop and went inside another residence. So that wasn't on his itinerary. So I called him, hey, where were you going? What were you doing? And he reported that I was in my old neighborhood. I saw some people that I used to know. I stopped and I went in and talked to him for a minute. Again, it wasn't on his itinerary. He was there maybe 15 minutes. He was called down for a staffing with the supervisor. He knows what he did wrong, and he pretty much, I asked him why he did it, because he knew he wasn't supposed to. That's what he told me. So he says, from now on, what I'm going to do is point A to point B, no matter who he's with, his family or friends, or I can't go, I can't deviate, I'm on home arrest, I go back to prison if I do. That's what he told me in the staffing. So as far as any other violations, there are none. There are no dirty, misty ways. He is on dialysis, so he isn't on random colors. I do swabs on him. All those have come back clean. I told him to get on some programming to refer him to CAP, CHC, for the career criminal program. And he's been in that. I think he's missed two groups. No issues reported by them other than that.
Okay. I saw in here too that he was $130 behind in his payments.
Yes.
So he's still delinquent in his payments?
Yes, he hasn't made any payment yet. Because I was gone, I wasn't really able to address that. I think the former PO did mention that to him, that, hey, you got to pay something. And I did talk to him, I think, last time or the time before about his COS fees. It's not really being accurately reported in Ames, because they're charging him for the first month after he was out, so I'm going to correct that. So it does show a discrepancy. I think it's like $260 right now is what it's showing he owes, but in actuality, he's supposed to start 60 days after his release, so I got to get that fixed for him, but yeah.
Okay. Any questions about the board? Okay. Thank you, sir. Mr. Williams, coming back up. Mr. Williams, the board is about to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, we'll make a determination whether to remove you off for home arrest or continue on your home arrest status.
Well, I would really appreciate if you consider taking me off.
Okay. So is there anything else you'd like to say to the board before we go into discussion?
Well, as strange as it may sound, I think the home arrest, the anchor monitor, because I'm trying to get the kidney transplant, and I think that having those on me kind of like put a little little stress on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, I've been living with it for this long, but I'm still not comfortable with it. You know, and being a dialysis patient, you know, I don't know how much y'all know about people that is do dialysis, but your body itch all the time. And then when the ankle monitor, I'd be lifting it up, pushing it down, and scratching all around. It's just, I just believe I'd be a lot more comfortable, you know, given my current circumstances and all, if I didn't have it. And I can assure y'all, I make y'all proud. I won't miss the point.
So, Mr. Williams, what happened when you went back to the old neighborhood? That's a concern of mine.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to see how it looked, because I'm hearing about they tear down the Matthew Hanson's, rebuild it, made it to gated community, and built all kind of stuff over there, and it just looked different. And I was happy how it was sounding. I mean, it was like music to my ears, because I'm saying, you know, that changes things, you know, because years ago, in the neighborhood that I grew up on, it was off Buckeye Road. I grew up in the projects, and it seemed like people go to prison, and they get out, and they go right to Buckeye Road. And this is how all the blacks find out that they've been released from prison. And so it kind of like changed the monopoly, you know, and by them changing all of that and redoing it all, and then you don't have a lot of blacks hanging out on that street, you know. And so it's like the Wild Wild West is just gone, and it's a lot better, you know. And that now people get to live like a city life, as you know, you will. You know, and I mean, it's great, it's fantastic, it's a real nice change, you know. And then I rode downtown Phoenix, and downtown is different. It's a whole lot been changed in 27 years and 3 months I've been gone. But it's all for the better. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's definitely an altogether different area. Buckeye Road almost don't exist at the Buckeye Road there.
Yeah,
when you look at all the joints and Lincoln Liquor, everything gone. All the everything gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. All right, sir, go ahead and have a seat. The board's going to go into discussion. Go ahead and have a seat so we can hear
it. Now, even though it doesn't change, I don't have a desire to be in that neighborhood.
Okay, the board is now going into discussion. Mr. Williams does have, you know, medical issues that he's taking care of. I think that he's right. I think his first priority should be to take care of his medical issues first before he does anything else. But he's going to have to work on, he also has a responsibility to pay his parole fee. That he's going to have to try to work with his family, see what he can do, and apply for some assistance so he can try to take care of those needs. I did have a concern about him going back into his old neighborhood, because as we know, that's when a lot of them get back in trouble, by going back to the old neighborhood and getting back with the wrong people and getting in trouble. But I know that area pretty well. And he's right. I think at least for his reasoning for going back was not so much to go back and get into the neighborhood, but just to go see how much has changed in 27 years. And that neighborhood has changed. The projects has actually changed over there. And the Matthew Hanson, they call it Hanson Village now. They've redone it. It looks altogether different. Downtown is much different than what it was 27 years ago. So I do understand his curiosity. We're going to drive around after him about all these things, but he does live, I think, kind of far out. So I think with all his medical issues that he has, he's been on home arrest for about 5 months. He's been on home arrest for about 5 months. He actually was released, came to this board in January, and actually didn't get released until March of 18. So he's been on home arrest since that period of time. His PO says that he's been following his itinerary. He did have the times that he discussed with us as that he was being out, but I think Mr. Williams would do well on parole. I think it would also probably assist him with some of the needs that he actually has out there for his medical issues with what he's doing. He's, you know, going to dialysis. I think twice a week he's going to dialysis and all the other medical appointments that he actually has. So
I would be supportive. I do believe Mr. Williams does understand the importance of staying focused on what he's going to do, where he's going to go because of his medical issue and trying to get a transplant. He, you know, he can't do any drugs. He's been negative on this test that he's actually had. So I would be supportive of trying to move Mr. Williams on to regular parole at this time. And I would hope that Mr. Williams would understand that even if he's moved to regular parole, he's still on a lifetime probation. And if he commits a violation, that violation could send him back to prison for a lifetime. I think sometimes they take that too light, that, you know, they go, but you're still on that probation and on that parole for a lifetime. So that's my opinion. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Well, there are a lot of different factors in this case, and I would say if Mr. Williams were here and he did not have the health conditions, I would be more leaning to not granting parole. And my reasons for that would be the stopping at the old neighborhood, you know, not complying with home arrest, because you really need to comply with home arrest. But I also, the other thing I was going to mention was, I mean, we didn't talk much about prison history, but there were many disciplines in 2017. I mean, there were six or seven, including a major in September of 2017. So there was, I mean, those things would concern me. But meeting him here today, again, we met him in January, I don't think there's any danger that he's involved in criminal activity. I mean, I'm not seeing that at all. And I mean, I see that he has some real health problems to face. And the other thing is, last time his two sisters came, and this time he's got a friend and a cousin. So he's got a lot of support. I believe he has a very large family, right? There are a lot of brothers and sisters. So he's got a lot of support, too. So, you know, that kind of tempers it. So I could, I mean, ordinarily I would say I would not. But with the medical situation, and to me, the very low likelihood of his being involved in any criminal activity, I could support that, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Bell?
I agree.
Okay, therefore, I am going to make a motion to grant Mr. Williams regular parole, general parole, deny the home arrest as well as the absolute discharge at this time.
I'll second that.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, second Ms. Rittenhouse. Agree, Mr. Neal. And I just marked it in the wrong spot. So I'm going to mark that he has to follow all mandatory DOC conditions, no alcohol use, random tests for drugs and alcohol, this is just standard, no contact with victim or victim family. If there's any restitution, he has to pay restitution, abide by all institutional rules, part-time and available programming as directed. Those would be the three conditions, unless anyone has some other things that they would like to add on. Okay, sir. Do you want to step up here? Okay. Mr. Williams, I'm going to tell you that I'm in much agreement with Ms. Rittenhouse. Had you not had the medical issue to go along with it, it is so important to follow that itinerary exactly like it has. I think you've probably been able to see that that monitor is very accurate. That monitor tells if you went in or you didn't go out. It would tell you where you went, how long.
You're a real snitch.
Yeah, it is very, very accurate as to what it's doing. It's just boiled to grant you parole, sir. So I'm going to tell you that
although you're on parole, you're still on lifetime parole. If you violate your parole and you do anything that you shouldn't do, then you can go back to prison for the rest of your life. That's how
I'm going to do my best to follow it to the letter.
Okay, well, I'm letting you know because I want you to know that normally under the circumstances with not paying, having your parole fees paid, with not having your parole fee paid and not having those violations, you know, the two violations on your home arrest, that normally we would just extend you out on home arrest another 6 months until you either got those paid or you didn't have any violations. Those things are important. The reason that we do that is in the home arrest, the reason for it being on that home arrest and monitoring is to prevent people from, try to prevent them from going back. Most people who are home arrest and get in trouble, they get back with the same old crowd, they get in trouble. The home arrest and the monitoring helps prevent that because we know where you're going and what you're doing, so it restricts that until they're able to get themselves together to hopefully not go back in that direction. So, you know, I'm saying that to you because those things could create one problem for you that would just, you know, make things extremely bad. And so, you know, you still, although you're getting granted regular parole, you still could wind up having those same problems. And then, you know, you go back into the old neighborhood and get back with somebody. It'll only take one time to go back. You go in there and you're still going to take a UA. You're still going to take the swabs and you go back and your parole officer swabs. You're going to be right back here before this board. And then if you come back before this board, sir, then I just want to explain the seriousness and the opportunity that you're being provided with so that you understand because of the past history of criminal history as well as the past history of your incarceration, that you got almost 3 pages of things that's in there. So you get an opportunity, sir. I hope you take advantage of that. That's what I'm telling you. I hope you take advantage of that opportunity and that privilege and not try to make sure that you abide by all the rules, but that you do abide by all the rules. There's not a lot of wriggle room in there for you to be able to do that, okay?
Okay.
All right, sir. I want to thank you for taking the opportunity. Thank you. Guests for coming down here and appearing, but that's going to conclude your hearing at that time, and we wish you the best of luck and the most success in your endeavor, sir, okay?
And I really appreciate what y'all doing for me today.
Okay.
Just don't let us down.
All right, y'all have a good day.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you.